dear Creator, God, Yeshua, here we are, alone, not alone. Here we stand, alone, not alone. We face into our personal problems and issues alone, not alone. And we join with others on our own, alone, not alone. Even with the birth of twins, each one is born alone, not alone, for there is only one at a time who is birthed. The miracle of our unions, of joining our solo perceived worlds, universes even, is still done together, alone, not alone. Despite our feelings of the solitary and whatever fears or burdens come up at the heart of it, we know we are never really alone, that our very beingness is saturated in whole and in part, in mind, body, spirit, blood, flesh, and soul, by the Almighty You, that we are one, and that we are never, never, ever alone. And so it is.
Thank you, Charlie. Hello, my name's Ron Vroman. I'm the old white man talking head for the Oregon Statewide Jural Assembly. I'm here this evening to talk about, could be morning, collection escrow. There's two kinds of escrow. The kind that sale and deed, everybody puts their contract in the pot, and some people take out a mortgage, some get a house, and some get money, basically. Then there's another kind of an escrow where it's not about that. Collection escrow. And I looked and looked, and I found two, and one sent me some documents, 6 pages of them. But they have an escrow that is a document hold only. And that's what we have. That's the kind of escrow we need for our quiet title. And the reason for that is we can't put the documents into a court because courts are party to the issue, our court and their court. So it can't be a court that holds the documents. We have to get an escrow, impartial third person. And there is one. And the fees are $200 plus extras. If you do a lot of extras, you pay more for it. But in any case, escrow, how do we do it? How do we, Article 1, Section 1 of Oregon's Constitution, that's us, the people on Oregon, how do we, in our de jure form, that of men and women, people, not as in corporate entities or a make-believe corporation, we're actually doing the work as people. But when we interact with a corporation, such as a guy buys out a corporation, the corporation has to have a bailee. It's usually an attorney. The attorney gets the power of attorney from the corporation's board of directors, and that attorney has the power to sign or do whatever needs to be done. In the old days, it was to hand over the keys to the fort or to the castle to the new owner. And the person that had the keys could not be an incorporated entity. It had to be a live human being carrying the keys. And that person's the bailee. So, excuse me. An incorporated entity has to be able to perform the function of handing over the keys. Therefore, they have to have a bailee. There has to be somebody, a physical being, a person, first person singular of people. There has to be one of those. And I don't think they can put up one. I don't think they can lawfully put up a bailee. And that's what escrows all... What?
Who are you talking about, they? Who is they?
The owners of 1000 Southwest 3rd Avenue, downtown Portland, the Marco Hatfield building.
Okay, so you're not putting a name on it. I got it.
No, I did put a name on it. That's exactly who the quiet title's going to be on. And we don't know if it's going to be more than a quiet title. This is going to get really interesting. Go ahead.
Now, in your research so far on who owns that piece of land upon which sits the Marco Hatfield Courthouse, how close did you come to an owner, to a name, an owner's name? How close?
Pulling the trio on that piece of property. You
all
see, I pulled the trio on 1000 Southwest 3rd. And the records I got from the county was for the Marco Hatfield building. And when you look at it, it still shows the six pieces of property underneath the building. And each one of them still has a number. And the guy at the title company, when I got these, said, when the county has to send out a document or a notification to the property owners, we send one to all six of those pieces of property.
Okay. So that's as close as you got, those pieces of property.
Yeah. But they have a name. Now, you touched on a... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just licking my lips.
Okay. When I was doing all of this search through the GSA in Auburn and the GSA's offices in the Hatfield building and gathering the information from Fidelity Title and the documents from their attorney in Auburn, I found out a lot of stuff, and part of it that I found out was to find out any more, you can't, because any records past this have been sealed by court's order.
Holy cow.
So there
and
we are.
Who's the party to the action in which the court ordered something like that? Did you get a case a name?
Not yet. I think the deal is going to be... That's been closed by a court order, and you don't have a superior court to overturn that order. That's what I think.
Well, I can see that. They're probably doing it in a U.S. district court.
I think they're doing it in every single U.S. district court.
Every single...
Eugene, Pendleton, Medford.
Okay, every single one in Oregon.
Yeah, well, we're only doing Oregon. But I'll bet you if I was doing Montana or Iowa, it would be exactly the same. there was an improper eminent domain taking by the United States Inc. doing it in the fictional de facto law form that they operate under. And I think that they have the same modus operandi in every single instance.
I don't think there's any relevance to speculating to that extent. I mean, why would you say that? I mean, what's
the
point?
Part of why I say that is, in 18 months looking for an Article III court, and I couldn't find one that would claim original jurisdiction, not one. And Article III says we're supposed to have one, and we're supposed to have one on our county close to where it happened. You recall that part?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. Can't find one. So then, is an Article III court superior to an Article I court?
I suppose so, because the Article III allows the people, a people, to sue their government, right? So that's probably the highest level. And that's the Article III, right?
Yeah. Now, we do know that the Federal District Court of Portland, the United States Federal District Court of Portland, is not an Article III court. One of the clerks of their court told me that. Gray and I, right to
because
our face.
Any federal agency or court that starts with U.S. is not.
Exactly.
Legitimate. Okay.
And every single federal district court in every single state, in every single district of every state, has a United States Federal District Court of Lala, wherever the hell it is. They're all the same. And I think they have the exact same bogus title on their property.
Okay, so let's talk about how this escrow company is going to help us figure that out.
Ah, good one.
In order first.
Well, let's take the Marco Hatfield building. I'll have the documents that I have. And I've got a bunch, and I've ordered a new bunch. And I have a guy at the National Archives working on this one. We're doing the work. But we will have all the documents that we can get together that are in the public domain on who owns the Marco Hatfield building and the land that it's on and how they got there. All that will be documented. Some of it will be a negative, such as there is no record of the United States going to the legislature and getting permission to buy the property at 1000 Southwest 3rd to build the Marco Hatfield building and whatever the hell the name of the one in Eugene is.
You're saying that there won't
there be, isn't
the
any
escrow company.
The escrow company will get a piece of paper that is authenticated by however we can authenticate it, such as Dexter Johnson. Dexter, is there any documentation in any of the the state legislature records that says that they applied for and properly obtained title to that property on 3rd Street, the answer will be no.
That's an interesting speculation. I don't know why you're saying that, but I mean,
well, there is no proof. There is no proof. There is none. If there's no proof, then there is none. That's a negative. I can't give you proof. I can only give you the reasons.
The reasons for no proof.
Okay. So there you are.
So what is the reason that there is no proof? And that's why you're hiring this escrow company, right? You want to find out.
Yeah, I want to find out. Now, if there is no proof available anywhere that this land and this building belongs to the name on the title, when you get the trio, the name on the title says United States of America, which is not us, because our name is the United States of America, and the name of the government service company in Washington, D.C. is the United States. There are only two names. That's not one of them. So the name on the title is bogus. That entity cannot come forward. That entity cannot provide a bailee. There isn't any. Now, do you think Seth's going to come down from that DOJ office on the sixth floor and march over to the escrow company and say, I'm the bailee, and I swear that there really is a lawful building here, and then file it?
I don't see how he could do that.
He works for the DOJ.
He works there. He works in that building. But how can he say he's the agent for the entity that owns that building? How can he say that? He can't.
Most certainly can. He's a deputy United States attorney for Oregon.
Yes, a United States, not the United States of America.
Yeah, but it's that building is supposed to be owned by the United States. That's who's supposed to own it.
Okay.
The legitimate United States, as part of their 23 enumerated responsibilities. And the United States cannot appear. There will be no bailee for the United States.
Well, that's what I was saying. He, Seth, cannot be that one, which you're telling all of us, can't be. Seth can't be that.
Nobody can be. It doesn't exist. There is none. We got a building. We know that. We got a bunch of records that are sealed by a court order that we don't know what's in. But we can get a court's order from a superior court to have them opened, which we might have to do and put that into escrow also. But what do you think's going to happen if in that sweetheart deal they have that the court closed, it says in 100 years the ownership of that property reverts back to the original owners or their assigns.
Well, that would be okay. That's okay with me. But who would that? Who are those people? Doesn't matter.
Why would that be okay with you?
I have no idea. I have no idea who donated, who got moved off, who gave up their right to that property. I don't know. But if in 100 years it went back to them, why would it not be okay?
Maybe it was commandeered land, right, by the county, right? Like they took it away from somebody and then sold it, or we don't know what's inside those documents, right? For all we know, could have been maybe put in like the Secretary of State or somebody's own name, and that's what we might find out. And then it's leased somehow to the federal government. We don't even know because it's all closed up. That's the horrible thing about this. And we shouldn't have a secret. That part should never be secret. It's not a top secret scenario that's going to be threatening the safety and security of the people of America, right? The United States of America.
Well, so, duh.
Probably why they're hiding is because maybe the Bushes or the Clintons or the Rockefellers or somebody, you know, that was in control at that time, maybe it's in their name and that's why it's so secret. You know, the other things that I know that they hide are like people that give their kid up for adoption or something. Sometimes those documents are sealed, right?
Yep.
Names changed and the original parents are hidden for some ungodly reason, you know? My thoughts.
Yeah. At what point does the child that's grown up have the right to confront their parents that gave them away? You know? It seems to me like at 18 or 21... that any of those documents are no longer valid. But then, you know, what about the JFK murder in Dallas? All that was supposed to be, I'm digressing. No. We're back to escrow. So, back to escrow. Yes.
So, this is, in 100 years, When they give it back to the heirs of the prior owners, why wouldn't that be okay with you? That's what I'm getting it'd be better than it is now.
No.
Because wait a second. Now we're not we cannot understand the United States. We don't have any jurisdiction over it. Its jurisdiction over us is all made up. It has no authority over us. So why wouldn't it be okay if it went back to the heirs of the original owners?
Because we're striving for a constitutional Republican form of government. That's what we're striving for.
Okay. But you know.
So if you give it away, then you're one of those that will acquiesce. We were, right. Let's see, you could have been with us, but maybe it was Ray, and I'm sure it was Cam, and we were at the Washington County Courthouse, and we were standing out on one of the sidewalks in the park, arguing like hell with three attorneys about Article 7 amended, 2016 or 17. And this one lady says, what difference does it make? And you're doing the same thing. You're saying, well, if the secret document says give it back in 100 years, what difference does it make? It's fine with me. Well, it's not.
We don't know what those documents, right? So aren't we assuming that the United States owns that land because there's a federal building on there? Isn't that the thing? We're assuming that they own it?
No, we aren't assuming, but it is assumed.
Yeah, so we haven't found documents that prove that they actually own it. So maybe they actually don't, and that's why it's hidden. Because if we understood, if we could prove for a fact that it was not owned by them, then they don't have jurisdiction there, and then we could come forth and go, hey, you can't be here, get the hell out. But because it is secret, we can't actually go there and do that thing, right?
But we can after escrow.
There you go. Exactly. And that's why we're pursuing this, because we want to know exactly who it is so that we can make our claim of jurisdiction or not.
And they make their claim or exactly. not. And if they yep. can't make the claim and they can't substantiate the claim and they cannot provide a bailee, then we will out. In escrow, period.
We will win out.
Yep. We will. Okay. Our will. We will do it through our will.
Okay, so how long will this take?
Damned if I know. I've never done one before. I don't think anybody's ever done one before.
Okay.
60 days.
Well, how about the company's history, the escrow company's history of timeliness?
They came pretty well recommended.
Okay.
Only two were recommended. This is interesting. Only two are recommended. In doing this search, one of my criteria is to say to whomever I'm doing business with at the title company or escrow company or wherever, I'd like to know what your political persuasions are. Well, I'm non-political. No, it's not going to work. I need to know. You're either in it with the Kate Brown oligarchy out of Salem and you're going for all these mandates, And that's who you are, or you're not. You're either a liberal or you're a conservative, or you're just muddling along, you know? But where are you? Because if I open this in a escrow or title company that is completely opposed to the process of the people in Article 1, Section 1, taking back their government, if they're opposed to that, they will hinder the escrow.
Right, you're not going to get far.
Mm-hmm. So?
And so these people did give you their political orientation.
Well, yeah. I've been to this escrow company before, maybe 3 weeks to a month ago, talked to a different person from another place. But the other one of the two that I was given that do this particular kind of escrow, a collection escrow, uh-huh. when they call back and I had that pleasant little conversation with the person on the other end of the line, And I said basically what I said to you. I said to them, so where are you? Where are you in this political process? He says, well, we can just hang up now.
Okay, so that gave you an idea that they were not on your side.
So we hung up, but the other one didn't.
Okay. And so all they need is a couple $100 to get started.
Yes. Okay. We'll have an escrow number. We'll have a docket number from Charlie from an Article 3 court. And we will deliver those documents to the GSA and the United States Federal District Court of Portland, the Department of Justice, and the U.S. Marshal Service. And tell them, quiet title, foreclosure, and eviction. Oof. That ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds so interesting. I don't know what else to say.
Thanks for
provoking my interest anyway.
Well, have you ever heard of the process before? No.
No. Mm-mm.
So, I think we got our hand in the cookie jar is what I think. But in any case, if there isn't any more questions, I think I've run out of information that I have to impart at this time on escrow, quiet title, foreclosure, and eviction of the Marco Hatfield building downtown Portland.
They do not want to let go of this. They do not intend on losing here. And we do not intend giving it back to them.
And then the bullets started flying. Then he jumps out of the car. And he's got both his hands up.
And he got out of the car. And he had his hands in the air. He's like, just shoot me then. This is what you want, just shoot me. And they did. They shot him dead. With his hands in the air. And I fought. I swear to God. He's just walking with his hands in the air. And they shot him. And they shot him dead. And then after he was down on the ground, shot him three more times.